This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. I'm Shaoning with Philip C, and this is The Morning Run. It has just gone past 7:05 in the morning. It's Wednesday, the 17th of February, and in about 15 minutes, we'll be talking about Malaysia's long-term economic recovery plan with Tricia Yeo of Ideas. But before that, markets.
Well, in the US, it was a mixed day. The Dow was up 0.2%, S&P 500 marginally down at 0.06%, Nasdaq closed down 0.3%. But over in Asia, relatively green, Nikkei 225 up 1.3%, Hang Seng closed up 1.9%, returned to trade on Tuesday following holidays in the last few days. Kospi Seoul was up 0.5%, Australia gaining 0.7%, STI closed up 0.1%, but unfortunately, FBM KLCI down 0.1%, but still above the 1,600 level.
As usual, we buck the trend. When everybody's up, we are down. When everybody's down, we are up.
We zig, they zag.
Yeah, but in the meantime, for a view of where global markets are headed, we speak to Jack Cousy, Director for Strategy at VFS Group. Now, Jack, the buzz is all about Bitcoin these days, hitting a record of 50,000. Do you think it's a legitimate asset that is worth buying at these levels? And do you have any plans or already have it in your portfolio?
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I do own a little bit of Bitcoin. Let's just look at what is happening right now and whether it's got to be part of someone's portfolio. I do believe it has to be now. I think you can't ignore this as a fad anymore. You know, fads don't last more than 10 years and they don't have the market cap that Bitcoin has a cryptocurrency. And when you see billionaires like Elon Musk and major companies buying it, well, it starts to give it legitimacy. And then we see companies like PayPal and Square accepting it as a payment. So look, I think this is going to continue to run. I think it's the weight of new money that's coming in, both from a retail and an institutional point of view. Let's look at some of the parameters. We still don't have a Bitcoin ETF. We know what happens when things get an ETF. They tend to get another weight of money. And it's becoming more and more mainstream as we go along. And every time I do a radio interview or a TV interview, at some point I get asked about it. So, yeah, I absolutely think it should be part of your portfolio. I think we're going to see it to continue to go higher, you know, whether that's today, next week, or next month. I think, you know, it's going to be higher in a year's time than it is now. And blockchain in particular, cryptocurrency, is starting to be an asset class that we need to look at as investors. So, yes.
Okay, but how do you see in the your portfolio? What is its role in your portfolio?
Yeah, it's hard to break down, right? Because here's the issue, right? As a stock investor, and I am a stock investor, I use a platform. Now, the platform that I'm using doesn't necessarily have access to cryptocurrency, right? So I see it like an allocation to cash, an allocation to fixed interest, an allocation to, you know, conservative or growth assets. It's part of a portfolio where I, you know, give it a percentage allocation, and that's how I see it. Now, how I play it is rather than kind of like I play as a stock market, is maybe just buying a group of them and being diversified within the industry. I will preface this and say I'm not an expert in cryptocurrency. But what I am an expert in is a flow of funds. And what I can see from everything is that there is more and more money coming into this asset class, which tends to appreciate the price. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, Jack, but the only issue I have about this is that when you look at it, and let's just use Bitcoin because that's the granddaddy of cryptocurrencies, right?
Yeah.
So it's up 70% on the year-to-date basis. And, you know, we're only talking about 17th of February today. Doesn't that suggest a bit of a bubble here? So how do you manage the risk part of this asset class?
Yeah, I mean, there are bubbles everywhere, isn't there? I mean, you know, marijuana stocks are up 300% for the year. EV stocks are up 280% for the year. Some of these tech stocks are up, you know, 50 or 60%. I mean, there are bubbles everywhere you pop right now. I mean, we could have a bubble bath for the next week or month with what this market is doing. The question is it a sustainable bubble? And in my opinion, at this point in time, it is, like some of these asset classes that we see in equity markets. And this brings to a broader point here. As we talk about investors, you look at markets everywhere and they are stretched everywhere you look. But you have to ask yourself is, do I want to be in the game or do I want to be outside the game? And at the moment, You have to be in the game. Now, that may change at some point. And the beauty about the asset classes that we invest in is they are liquid. They're not like property. But at the moment, you got to be in the game. You got to be a player. And I firmly believe that.
I think we've been hearing this, that we have to be in the game, that but it's a bit frothy. It's coming through. What are the signs that you're going to say, okay, I'm going to get out of the game now?
Yeah, here's the perfect thing for you. Like, this is the thing, right? You can't see the signs, right? These are not signs that you see. For example, right, we almost had kind of a little bit of a mini burst a few weeks ago with the GameStop saga, okay? You know, Robinhood stops trading. These brokers stop trading. Suddenly you get this friction in the markets and we get the sell down. You don't see a bubble. You just can't see it. And at the moment, that's the thing, right? You've got everybody's pretty much fully invested. There's not much cash on the sidelines. Every analyst and their dog is bullish about what's going on. And I get that. So, look, I go back to the liquidity of your assets. And this is why I favor stock markets over any investment, product in the world, is that they're liquid. It's hard to see, but, you know, you're not going to see a massive pop where we're down 20 or 25% in a day. It'll be a gradual over weeks. And that would be my entry exit signal to take some assets off the table. By no means will I ever be going short, because I just think short is a mug's game, but they're very hard to predict. I'll leave it at that.
And Jack, one other asset class which has really seen a lot of interest is, of course, specs. Because it's an easier way for startups to get funding instead of going through the whole venture capital cycle or listing. Now, are you a bull on this?
I mean, it's hard not to be at the moment, isn't it?
Have you bought the Shaq SPAC?
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, I think last week in one day, we had 13 new SPAC listings in the US. Yeah. It is an easier way. It's a way for, you know, private companies or a massive amount of cash to kind of do their due diligence under the cover of night. And it's an easier way for private companies to get to listing. I think this is not the end of it. I think it's seen as an alternative to IPOs now. And I think this is a trend we will continue to see. And with the wave of, I'll give you an example, right? So junk bonds, right? Junk bonds to your listeners, they call them junk bonds for a reason, right? Because they're junk. They are yielding on average less than 4% now, right? Never happened in history. They're yielding less than 4%. Carnival Cruises last 2 weeks ago did a $6.5 billion raise at a six-year term sheet at an interest rate of 5%, 5.7, with no collateral, right? So this is the environment we're in, and these are why these SPACs are just able to raise this money. This will continue. At some stage, it can't. But with the weight of Fed money and the weight of interest rates, SPACs are here to stay.
So, Jack, is then our focus, should it be on interest rate cycles? I mean, and then really look at inflation, right? Because if inflation starts rearing its ugly head, likely we're going to see some interest rates inch up. And that is that the time when the bubble really bursts?
I mean, it could be rearing its ugly head. Yeah, we haven't seen it for 20 years. So we haven't actually had an opportunity to react to it as modern day investors. Look, I don't think it's as big a problem as people think it is. I think we've got a way to allow inflation because we're in a recovery period. But yes, and this is the key component. The only way to curb inflation, the only mechanism that we have to curb inflation is interest rates. Pretty much. It's the blunt instrument that you can use. Nothing pretty much else can happen. So central banks at some stage, I don't think it's going to be this year. They're going to try to avoid it. They're going to have to approach it. And if it gets out of track, and you can see it with the steepening of the long end of the yield curve, I just don't think it's a massive problem right now. They will have to hit it with a blunt instrument. And the only way to hit it is interest rates. And that will be the reckoning for the market, in my opinion. But I just don't believe that's on the horizon at this point in time with the reopening that's happening. And the one thing with inflation that we must understand is the biggest weight on inflation has been technology, right? It is a pressure on price because it opens up markets and it gives us a lot of things for free. Think about what we're doing right now, right? And that's been the curb on inflation for a long time. And the question is whether that continues in a post-COVID world. But it is a very good point and something we should be watching.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at VFS Group, telling us that the bubble bath is still going to continue. Bubbles don't
Shame,
seem to
right?
be...
Shame, right? I need a shower facility.
Yeah. And it doesn't look like it's going to pop anytime soon. Even if you look at Treasury yields this morning in the US, all surged to 1.31%, the highest since February 2020. Global bonds extending their worst start to a year since 2013. Dollar has also strengthened. You know, it's like good time, Charlie, but I have to say I'm nervous. You know, when every asset class is up, practically, even oil up $63 a barrel. You wonder, how can this continue? Is it really just due to the era of ultra-low rates?
I was taken aback when he said he used Bitcoin as part of his portfolio for cash.
I mean, to me, that's
like really?
Yeah, that would be like what I would say an alpha call because of its volatility.
Yes.
But who knows? But up next, we'll be talking about Malaysia's long-term economic recovery plans with Tricia Yeo of Ideas. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.